Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. Bet the Board podcast. Check out that podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Todd, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing very well this afternoon, gentlemen. How are things in lovely Nashville?
Well, we're trying to – I mean, now we've got a senator that went to Kansas and Kansas State trying to get the Department of Justice to go after ESPN because Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out, because when you're talking about state institutions that are not going to get their piece of the pie when they get relegated to some of the secondary conferences, you begin to wonder what's going on behind the scenes in terms of meddling. And we've seen it with the broadcast partnerships and everything else that's going to unfold. I really believe, guys, that college sports will look significantly different, not just in 2 or 3 years from what they look like right now, but in 10 to 12 years. Let's see if we even have college sports in its current structure, whether that applies to just college football or college basketball or some of the other sports out there as well.
So the Big 12, I said this when all this Texas and Oklahoma thing happened. Like, their only move is to try to get the Pac-12 to partner with them. But if you're the Pac-12, why would you do that?
I think the only reason it benefits the Pac-12 is if you feel you can get into certain media markets that you otherwise wouldn't have a presence in. And I won't claim to have the media figures for what it looks like to get a UCLA-Kansas football game on in households in Kansas City. I think from a basketball standpoint, it probably makes a lot more sense. But as we know, all of these decisions are predicated on what it means to the bottom line for football, because all you need to look at is the fact that the Big Ten really scoffed at the idea of bringing in Duke, and that's not because Duke isn't a blue-blood basketball program. It's because Duke's football program is as close to as irrelevant as you're going to find in the ACC. So going to be an interesting dynamic here in terms of how the Pac-12 looks to go about it. I know they've tried to flip their TV schedule a variety of ways, kicking off earlier in the day to be in more households. Maybe getting a Midwest footprint is what this league actually needs, even if the overall level of play won't drastically improve.
What are the odds that Oklahoma wins 6 more conference championships in a row?
I don't think they'll be in the league long enough to win 6 conference championships. I really believe we're talking about Oklahoma and Texas kind of being kicked to the curb or leaving unceremoniously much before the grant of rights is over in 2025. I don't think the Big 12, any more than those two institutions, want to be in lame duck status playing out 3 or 4 years of a college football schedule where they know they're not going to be in the league going forward. So I think we're talking about Texas and Oklahoma probably playing at max. You know, let's set the over-under at 27 Big 12 college football games, and I'd probably make under a substantial favorite.
See, you missed my poor attempt at humor there. their run is going to stop when they go to the SEC.
Well, you know what? I think when you look at Oklahoma right now, I mean, it's a program that I'm sure will have their hands full with the trajectory going into the SEC. But when you talk about what it means for the SEC pecking order, especially in the SEC West, I think there are a lot of programs that need to be concerned. If you're not Alabama, you're Auburn, you're LSU. Oklahoma, in my opinion right now, slots as the second most prestigious program there. And while Nick Saban's been granted an extension, I think there are going to be a lot of SEC coaches who are a little bit more concerned about job security with Oklahoma and Texas coming into the league.
Yeah, I don't doubt that 1 second.
Todd Furman with us, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Check him out there. Todd, you still rolling with the Olympics? Have you found a way to find some revenue streams there?
You know, I haven't done a whole heck of a lot. Sitting on a futures ticket that looks to be close to dead and buried, or at least it will be tonight around 9:15 with Australia to win gold in men's basketball. I was hoping that they were on the other side of the draw. We'll see if they can get hot from the perimeter. But Team USA appears to have found its swagger. They were a little bit cold early on in the first half against Spain, found that second gear, and were able to push as 14-point favorites. But that's the only live ticket I have at this point. I am currently exploring a potential avenue to maybe bet Canada plus a half a goal in 90 minutes in the women's championship game against Sweden for the gold medal in soccer.
Slaves all over the Olympics, man. He can't lose. You need to DM him.
Yeah, you got to take advantage. The money that you can make, it doesn't matter what betting market you're in. The money is just as green, and Slade's going to have to try and find a way to pad his bankroll before he starts to lose all those 8-teamers he'll bet in football season when we get to opening weekend, Labor Day weekend.
You know it's coming down the pipe, Don.
there is no doubt about that, my friend. No doubt about it.
What have you been winning on, women's basketball?
Women's basketball and the men's. I've been betting, and I won off the women's last night. I needed them to I picked any margin between 21 and 25, and they got it done. I was scared when they were up 30. I needed Australia to make a little run, and they did for me. So That was perfect. This is what I want to know, though, Todd.
You know, all it took so far this tournament, Slay, is to basically bet Slovenia every game. It's a team that the betting market didn't price properly early on. But you've seen it look to be a lot more stable in that regard as they opened up about 2.5-point favorites against the French side, and that number really hasn't moved. Although if you shop around and you like the dog, you will be able to pick off a 3 closer to tip-off around 4 a.m. Pacific time or 6 a.m. for you guys.
Man, that's what I was going to ask you, Todd. Like, how is Slovenia? I know Luka is working his magic, and, you know, he knows these officials. He knows this European game that they're playing, this FIBA-style game. But, man, to be not the underdog going against France, who just knocked off U.S. early in the pool play, is that not a shocker, or am I just
crazy?
What?
I think when you look at tournaments like this, let's not kid ourselves here with odds makers, you come in with a baseline power number, but you have to be quick to adapt based on what you're seeing out there. And Slovenia has been a team that's taken a lot of folks by surprise. I mean, this is a nation that doesn't have any gold medals to its credit during the Summer Olympics. And suddenly here you are with an NBA superstar in Luka Doncic, surrounded by guys that, hey, look, let's not kid ourselves. They aren't exactly household names by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe Mike Toby, for those college basketball fans out there, remember him making threes back in 2015 for Virginia. But whether it's a box and one that teams have tried to employ or a variety of other approaches on the defensive end, they've found a way to make open jumpers, especially late in games, and find the ability to separate. We'll see if they can do that against a very tough-minded France side. I think this is a bit of an overlay here with Slovenia. I thought Pick'em would have been a fair number, but I'm not quite sure I'll tangle. I haven't watched nearly as much of the Olympic basketball as you have, Slay.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. Todd, how have things changed with Carson Wentz going down and being out an amazing 5 to 12 weeks? What a spread there.
And the thing about it for the Colts is now not just Carson Wentz, it's Quentin Nelson on the offensive line as well. So this is a team a little bit banged up going into the season. It's definitely worked to the Titans' benefit. Those two teams are more or less neck and neck, right around a pick 'em to win the division at FanDuel Sportsbook. What you've seen now is the Titans have moved into the slight favorite role, and that's making them about $1.30 favor. You can take back $1.80 on the Colts. The other thing that'll work out favorably for the Titans is their schedule sets up a lot nicer through the first 5 weeks than it does for the Indianapolis Colts. And as far as that week one game, we've seen the Colts go from short home favorites in that 2.5 range, now as much as 2.5-point underdogs, depending on where you shop. The biggest question that I think we're all going to have to try and figure out with Indianapolis, who will their starting quarterback be? Will it be Jacob Eason, or will they go out there and get a veteran that they can plug in? And as I say that, I'm seeing some 3.5s out there now, so you're talking about nearly a 6-point move with the cluster injuries to Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson.
So do you think it's a quarterback on the roster, or do they go outside the family?
I think that's a great question. If you believe that Carson Wentz will be back by week two, I don't think you have to go out and make a massive decision in terms of bringing in the likes of a Nick Foles. You saw the rumblings that, hey, look, maybe Philip Rivers would be interested in coming in. But I don't think Rivers made it sound like he wanted to play week one or week two. He'd be much more likely to come in once the high school football season was over in Alabama, and then he could try and help out a team who lost their quarterback, you know, through the latter portion of the season. So, in my opinion, I really believe it's going to be Jacob Eason week one. I've been surprised before, but I think the Colts would be a little bit foolish if they went out and gave up draft capital for Foles, unless we're talking about Wentz not coming back until the middle of October.
Great stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk with you next week.
Appreciate you, Todd.
Always a pleasure, guys. Good luck, Slay, with the Olympics. I expect to hear more stories of big-time cashing over the next 4 or 5 days, my friend.
My man, I got you.
There it is. Bet the Board podcast. Check him out.